All right, welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and today I am joined by our very own Michael Katz. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. It's a big week in Oxford, big game. Bye week is coming up. And then we got the Egg Bowl, so I can't believe this regular season's almost over. It just seems like it started and here we are. Almost at Thanksgiving, which means it's almost Christmas.
Yeah, I'm sort of going through that same thing where, you sort of like have that. At least when I'm not working on Saturdays, you sort of have that ritual of, there's just something really nice about waking up on Saturday and being like, there's a full slate of college football today, right? And then you look at the calendar, you're like, man, there's only three more of these left.
I know, and then like we just got Maction back recently within the last few weeks, and that's a blast. I nothing more than love having Tuesday night Northern Illinois on in the background as I do some work. It's a true sicko's paradise. But yeah, we're almost done. But bowl season is still the best, and we got playoffs and all that kind of stuff, and we still got a few weeks left in this thing. So, but yeah, it goes by fast.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like UMass kicking a sad field goal on a Wednesday night in
The
November.
fireworks.
But yeah, so some folks might have heard Ole Miss doing pretty all right for themselves, sitting in a playoff spot with Florida on the schedule. What could possibly go wrong, right? Yeah, so it was kind of interesting with the way the CFP broke out this week that, I sort of figured if Ole Miss comes in at sixth and just wins out, they'd be no lower than sixth. But apparently you play an FCS team and you just fall to seventh, sure. Okay.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin had some thoughts on that this week. He understood why a team that beats a ranked team would jump them. And that's he said if you're on the other side of that, you would want that to happen too. That they'd be the Texas Tech is obviously we're talking about here. They beat and then undefeated BYU team. It's a great win. But it's like what more do you want Ole Miss to do? They beat the Citadel 49-0. It should have been worse, but they put in all of their backups. If Ole Miss wanted to score 100 in that game, I'm sure they could have. But it's I don't think it really would have made that much of a difference, apparently, in the committee's eyes. So, yeah, but at the same time, if you take care of your business in these next two games and you're 11-1, you're going to be in what seed? I don't know. There's obviously a lot of moving parts around them, but it's just crazy that. I think when the season started, I said I felt like the ceiling, absolute ceiling for this team was like 10-2, like the absolute best case scenario. I thought 8-4, 9-3 were probably the realistic ones, and here we are. They are on the verge of, if they win this weekend, being 10-1. Pretty incredible. I know that coaches will tell you that they feel good about their teams every year. I don't think a coach has ever said, I really hate this team. But coming in, there were so many new pieces. I don't think we really knew, but Lane felt good about it, and Pete Golding felt good about what he had on defense, and they felt good about the quarterback room. Of course, the quarterback room has changed a little bit in the last couple months. But it's a hell of a coaching job. I don't have a vote for this sort of thing, but if you're talking SEC coaches of the year, I would have to think he would be in the conversation for it.
Yeah, now if you told me at the beginning of the year that the entire Ole Miss fan base would adopt a Caribbean island nation as its own, I don't really know what I would have told you.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about Trinidad and Tobago over the last few months, and I was actually just in an establishment that had a flag, and you walk around the square down here, and there's a lot of flags. I'm not sure if you've heard the meme AI song with the crazy music video. He loves it. Trinidad Chambliss himself loves that. They played it at the game the other day. It's we are in a it, the college football is so bizarre sometimes, and this is just one of those stories.
Yeah, and then going back to the CFP rankings for a second, my sort of conspiracy is that they are laying the groundwork for everybody to be okay with an Ole Miss Texas Manning Bowl, but we'll see if that shakes out.
Well, the good thing is there'd be nothing to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely nothing to talk about there.
Not only Manning's, but you'd have Lane and Sark again. Oh man. Yeah, I've been telling people I've been lacking storylines lately. So you know that would be a nice that would be a nice fresh one.
Yeah, and surely there are no other possible storylines that could be there with Ole Miss in the playoffs amid everything else going on in the wide world of college football.
Absolutely not. Nope.
Absolutely not, right? So I guess my big thing is, what are you sort of watching for these last two games? Because on the surface, home against Florida and then a trip to Starkville, not exactly a murderer's row to end the year. But on the one hand, while Florida is a horrible, awful, bad football team, I'm allowed to say that I'm a UF grad. On the other, they're talented. They have a bunch of talent, though they are injured. Their injury report is just like a laundry list every week. But there's that, and then obviously, dealing with the cowbells and the rivalry, really with the playoffs around the corner is never fun. Like last year was like, I don't know, probably the worst Mississippi State team that people have seen in a while, and they still hung with an Ole Miss team that should have made the playoffs last year if not for a tremendous amount of terrible luck in one possession games, which we'll get to.
Yeah, no, I feel like this weekend they're gonna come out guns a blazing. I think this one is really important for them, because of last year, because of everything happening around the program right now. Just it's the last home game of the season. It's senior day, senior night, whatever. I don't think there's gonna be a lack of focus or prep for that one. But after a bye week, because Ole Miss is on a bye week coming into the Egg Bowl. I'm not sure if State is, but Ole Miss has a bye, and then they have the Egg Bowl. Two not great things for Ole Miss here is 11 a.m. start, and after a bye week, they have not traditionally been great in those situations. And then again, you've got a rivalry game where it doesn't matter how good either team is; it's just weird things happen. And I don't know if you can always prepare for weird. You can prepare for teams, but you can't. There's just something about those games sometimes. So, I think odds are Ole Miss probably wins both of them, but I think that Egg Bowl is going to be fascinating because you State, there's a good chance they're fighting for bowl eligibility there. That could be their chance. They'd love nothing more than to keep, 10-2 Ole Miss maybe still gets in, but they would love nothing more than to be the reason that they don't get in. That. So, I think there's a lot of really interesting factors. I think if the Egg Bowl was just the week right after Florida, I don't think it would be as big a deal, but I do think there is sort of something to the bye and then the early start and it just being this rivalry game where it's historically never gone quite the way we think it's going to go, even if the team you think wins. Again, Ole Miss should have killed them last year. I think it was what a 10 point, 10, 17, 7, something like that, whatever it ended up. It was a way
It
closer
was
game
it, yeah, it
should
was
have.
close. It was too close for way too long.
Yeah, it was a closer game than it absolutely should have been. So, and that's just sort of the way the Egg Bowl's always been, at least while I've been here. So, I that's going to be an interesting one. Of course, you can't overlook Florida. Talent, 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 talent is really important. They've got a quarterback who hates getting sacked and likes throwing the ball down the field. And Ole Miss learned that the hard way last year. There's always those factors. But yeah, I always thought the Egg Bowl was going to be interesting. I think the way that Mississippi State has lost games has been really interesting because they've been in a lot of really close games that they could have won. Like that's a team that is on the verge of doing some really good things, and they'd love nothing more than to break through against Ole Miss. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, Mississippi State is another, but I guess Florida and Mississippi State are both teams that are, and more so Mississippi State than Florida, teams that are not great, but also they're not bad, and they just find ways to lose games. They just don't, they're not bad teams. They just don't win games, It's
Yeah, I mean, I saw Florida up against Georgia a couple weeks ago, and they found a way to lose that game, right? That's just sometimes the way your season is. Last week, and Lane said this, that the 38-7 game kind of seems like it was an aberration. Just sometimes everything goes wrong and you flush it from your system and you're just like, okay, man, like we just got to get out of here. Sometimes the other quarterback is playing out of his mind, and but yeah, no, it's they're I don't know if Florida is a great team, but they're a team that I think can cause problems. I think
Yeah.
State is the same way.
I will say you will be amazed at how poor their situational football is. Like third down offense, bad, just bad. They just find ways to come up short in critical moments. So, even if it's close in the fourth quarter, I don't think Ole Miss fans need to be sweating.
But talent always helps.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean,
That's not hurt.
it's the only thing that they've got. I feel like a lot of Ole Miss and Florida fans lately have been doing a whole lot of debating about high school talent versus transfer portal talent, but I won't go into it. So
Yeah, that's kind of that has come up a couple times.
just a couple. I promise you we wouldn't talk about it. And I'll keep to that. All I'm going to say is I'm between this and last year, I am really tired of tiptoeing around the office and suddenly becoming important. So I am frankly quite tired of suddenly becoming the main character in people's stories around here. So, but all that to say, if something were to keep Ole Miss out of the playoffs, like what do you think it would be?
I guess if I've seen, I guess if there's a weakness, it's when they've been, and it's hard to say when they've been bad because they're 9-1. But I think back to that Georgia game where they were lost it, and even against Oklahoma, I think they were up 12 and then blew that lead and obviously ended up coming back and winning. This team is a lot better than last year's team is at finishing off games for sure. There's no question. That team was snake bitten. Three losses by 13 points is going to haunt a lot of people for a long time. This team is way better at that. They run the ball better. They know how to close out games a lot more efficiently. But against good teams, they've let teams back in a couple of times, and I think that's a little worrisome. And obviously, Georgia is a great team, and Oklahoma is a team that is making some noise as well. But I think that concerns you a little bit, letting teams back in and maybe not being able to, finish off a game when you've had a big lead. Again, we're way better finishing off games than they were a year ago. But against Georgia, that's a game that you can't lose that game when you're up 9, and you've been contributing. They controlled that entire game against Georgia until they didn't. And Oklahoma, that shouldn't have been as close as it was at the end there. So I would say it's that is kind of finishing off games against good teams. I think that is. Defense was a problem early on. That's gotten a lot better. The defense as a whole has gotten a lot better. Pass rush, everything has gotten significantly better. And then offense is humming. So yeah, I mean those are that's I think the biggest thing. The defense again against Georgia, they got beat up pretty bad. They couldn't finish. They a lot of missed tackles. Gunnar Stockton looked like the Heisman Trophy winner of that game. And he's a really good player, of course, but I mean he could not miss that game. So I think other than finishing off games, I think the defense just has to be tight too.
Yeah, I think it's funny you brought it up. I think with the Oklahoma game there that it shouldn't have been as close as it was. I sort of feel like that's just kind of the theme of for Ole Miss this year. Not that like that's necessarily a bad thing, but I mean, you kind of look at some of the games that they've played and you're like, really don't know if they should have been in a dogfight with Arkansas or Washington State. And
Even LSU.
LSU, it's like, another one of those, they're not necessarily bad. I understand why you might play a team like that close, but you also look back on it and you're like, man, that team fired their coach. I mean, that's what, two teams that they've played that have fired their coach and they won in one possession games. I don't know
Yeah,
what to
no,
do with
and
that.
I mean Kentucky too, that was a one score game. So, but that's always a one score game, it feels like,
Look,
between those.
I will tell you from personal experience that getting Kentucky in early September is always a trap. It is always, always a trap.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a team. Last year's team was capable of blowing teams out, right? There was so much talent. And this team is obviously talented, but it doesn't have as much star power. You don't have the first round picks and the All-Americans and the All-SEC guys, not nearly as many. I mean, last year you had two first round picks, you had a bunch of day one, day two picks. I mean, that was maybe the most stacked Ole Miss roster ever. This year they're winning games, but they have to do it differently, So I don't think this team necessarily has the ability to blow teams out the way they did. But unlike last year's team, they've won close games, a lot of them. And yeah, they lost one, but they've won a lot of one possession SEC games, and that was not something they were able to do last year. I don't think they won a single one possession game last year, which is crazy. All of their wins were by like 25 points. And then you've got those losses, again, 3 by 13. So yeah, I again, that team last year was real good, but I do think there is something to be said for being able to win maybe when it's not the prettiest circumstances.
I will say, it's always funny to me that nobody ever says, oh, we just find ways to win games when they're playing well, right? No, but nobody ever says that when you beat somebody by 30. It's always like, we squeaked out a 3-point win in a game that we didn't play all that well in. It's all fine dandy, but when you're saying that every week, that's when it's like, okay, well, at a certain point, you've got to, put it all together.
Yeah, and yeah, no, it's just been a fascinating season, because again, it's a little unexpected, at least from the outside, that this team is where it is. I'd be lying if I said I thought this team was going to be a top 7 team. But it always pretty, but they figured it out for the most part. They're one fourth down stop away from being undefeated right now. They should have beat Georgia. If they had just gotten that stop on fourth down at Georgia, that game's over. They are one bad missed tackle away, several missed tackles away, on that one play, from being undefeated. It's just, I think that the margin for error is smaller for this team, but they just know how to get it done, and I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, I just find it funny that it seems like whenever their backs are really up against the wall, just something like absolutely awful happens to the other team. Like it's like to, almost to like a cartoonish extent. Like Arkansas driving down the field for a game-winning touchdown and then just fumbling. I think it was the Oklahoma game that had the muff punt. It's just always all these dumb things. It's like, all right, well, maybe this team is just destined to make the playoffs this year in a way. It's like making up for last year, where it's like last year was the most cursed football team I've ever seen, and this year it's just, endless amounts of plot armor, apparently. So
Yeah, no, last year was like Looney Tunes in a bad way for them. This year it's like, oh man, it's happening for us finally. Yeah, there was a lot of that was, again, it's hard to say a team that went 10-3 was cursed, but man, that team was supposed to be a lot better than that, record wise, and the statistics would show you that they were a lot better than that. But they don't care about that at the end of the day. It's about wins and losses, and that team. I mean, losing the way they did against Kentucky last year on 4th and 10, giving up like a 65-yard bomb, like ha that doesn't happen, man. The 3 fourth down conversions against LSU, that doesn't happen. Garrett Nussmeier getting out of a sack, that doesn't happen. And then, of course, what happened in Gainesville that fateful morning slash afternoon, again with. with DJ getting out of sacks and just refusing to lose that game. A lot of things went wrong for Ole Miss last year, and it seems like a lot of things are going in their favor this time around. So the football gods even things out, I think, eventually.
Yeah, and then well, I mean, it is funny you brought up another, loss from a fourth down conversion. I guess that is like the one thing that's carried over year to year. But other than that, it's been a total reversal. One of the things I think I was talking to Jake Thompson earlier in the year, and he brought it up, is that one of the big differences this year is that they're actually able to run the ball. And you look back at that game in Gainesville last year, well. As much as we loved it because it was fun, maybe if you're handing the ball off to, Kayvon Lacy instead of JJ Pegues, you wouldn't get stopped on fourth and short like three times or whatever it was last year. I mean, just how much of just how much of this year's success really just been a, hey, we don't have to throw the ball 40 times a game, and if it's close late, we can actually burn clock.
No, it's been huge. And then again, there's you can point to moments in all three of those losses last year where you can say if they had this Kiwon Lacy, they're probably undefeated or a one loss team last year. But obviously they didn't, and some things went wrong. But I think Lane's best teams have always run the ball, and that's true here. His first couple of years, he had kind of that three-headed monster with Jerry Neely and Snoop Connor and Henry Parrish, and then he had Quinshon Judkins, who was amazing, and then they just didn't have that last year, and the offense just never looked as explosive as it was. It was not, I don't think, what they ever really wanted it to be, because in terms of running the ball the amount that they wanted to. And so they made a big commitment to upgrading the run game, and that was offensive line, and that was running back personnel as well. And Kevon Lacy's been amazing. He leads the nation in touchdowns. He's second in the SEC in rushing. He is, without him, I don't know where they're at, honestly, because some of those close games they've won, I don't think they're able to win those games. So he's been huge. I think that recommitment to the run this offseason was a really big part of this team.
Yeah, and then I just sort of feel like there haven't been this many like distractions around the team since 2022, and obviously that season ended way differently. What do you think is maybe different this year?
One, there's just so much left in front of this team that I don't think they have time to get distracted by everything that's happening. I think we're distracted. It's hard not to be when it's all that anyone's tweeting or message boarding about. But I think that they understand that they legitimately have a chance to make the playoff and win a national championship right now. There's no time to be distracted by all the stuff on the peripherals. So last year or a couple years ago, that loss to Alabama really crushed them. That was a game that they should have won. It was going to be Lane was finally going to beat Nick Saban, and they blew it. And it really all kind of fell apart from there. And then obviously the Arkansas game and the Egg Bowl and the Auburn stuff and all that sort of happened all at once. I think this year, well, yeah, there's a lot of noise around the program. I think everyone there understands that, they don't have time to listen to that, because if they take care of business on Saturdays, they're going to be exactly where they want to be, and they're going to be playing for national championships. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that they understand what's still ahead of them, and that they simply don't have the bandwidth right now to really deal with the distractions.
Yeah, and for all the talk that we did about last year, it is awfully funny that it's same team, basically the same time of year. And I just thought it was interesting that quote from Caden Lee about how they just walked into Gainesville last year thinking that it was just going to be, that they were just going to roll. And then that didn't happen. Seems to me like they sort of learned the lesson from last year.
For sure. I as much as they are, say they aren't thinking about last year, and which is true, I imagine, but It doesn't mean they didn't take lessons away from it. I think this team has learned not to take anything for granted because those guys who were around last year know what happens when you do. You lose as a 20 whatever point favorite to Kentucky, or you lose. I think they were a 2-score favorite over Florida last year. When you take things for granted in the SEC, bad things happen. So I think this team, for the guys who are left and the coaches, more than anything, I think they understand that you can't sleepwalk through anything. They tried that last year with the best team maybe in modern Ole Miss history and didn't work. You sure as heck can't do it with this team. So I do think there were some lessons learned, hard lessons, but I think that this team understands that they just have to play their game and take care of business, and good things will happen.
Yeah, and then without getting into the distractions too much, you told me that you have seen the Gator fans walking around Oxford. Things have been awfully tense online for various reasons. I don't know, how's it been seeing some orange and blue walking around?
So I was down in the square on a radio show, and I'm seeing a lot of Florida quarter zips, a lot of polos. I walked by the library, not the establishment of learning, the bar at 10:30, and there's people already in there. And I'm like, man, this is truly God's country, isn't it? We are truly in the great place right now. Literally everywhere I've gone, I've seen at least one Florida fan. And it's funny because a lot of them have been with Ole Miss people, so I think it's I think a lot of people have Florida friends who are coming to town for this one, and maybe not all about the game. I think there's going to be potentially a lot of disagreements in the Grove this weekend, and maybe at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. And I'm I that's I was I think we I think everyone on the beat was sort of dreading this week for a while, and now that it's here, and now that people are starting to show up, it's. Oh, you sometimes you just gotta smile and smile through pain, and I'm staying indoors as much as I can. Let's
Yeah.
just say that.
Yeah, and this is before at least hopefully before alcohol gets involved on Saturday, but I don't know, knowing folks, maybe not.
Yeah.
Wish we had the Florida sunshine laws that gives you all the Florida man headlines this weekend, but alas.
There are going to be a lot of Florida men and women having a jolly time down here.
Yeah, no, I bet you're gonna be excited that you're just in the press box this week and not having to deal with any of that. So,
I'm going to be honest. I'm not sad. I have to miss out on festivities.
because at least the one at State is open air. Not so much at Ole
Yeah.
Miss. You're a little more protected from all that.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, just I don't know. Any other thoughts about this weekend? Where Ole Miss is at? You know what? How are you feeling about the possibility of a home playoff game here?
I mean, it'd be great. I mean, I think it would be great for the town. It'd be great for the program. I think there's this idea, and it's been going around a lot lately because of the aforementioned distractions, that Ole Miss has this small stadium, and it's not, blah blah blah. You're not a big boy, and it's like, man, that place fills up pretty good. That place gets pretty loud, and for a playoff game, I think would be electric. We all know about the Grove. We all know about the square and all those things. But when that stadium's popping, it gets pretty loud. It can be a hard place for visiting teams to be. So I think it would. I'm sure no one would like to show that off more than Ole Miss, who all they hear is like, well, look at that little small stadium. And that's like, because that's the only thing that you can say right now. It's like, well, yeah, they're 9-1, but they play in a small stadium. That then it's like, okay, well, those things aren't necessarily correlated, but
Yeah, but the
that's
coach had to ask or beg the students to come to an FCS game or whatever.
which hey, listen, I don't want to be there either, for the record here. But I was brave. But yeah, no, I think it'd be a good chance for Oxford and for Ole Miss, and to show off that you don't have to have a huge stadium to be a good venue.
But yeah, I mean, just any other thoughts on where things are at right now?
I'd say I'm ready for the bye week, but I don't think it's going to be much of a vacation if I had to guess. So, I'm just gonna be armed with my Apple Watch and my phone, and I'm just gonna never not be looking at screen. I'm gonna have a lot of screen time, as parents say. I'm gonna have a lot of screen time.
Yeah, it's like the Pete Golding shark watch, but worse.
Oh, way worse. I haven't seen a shark in a while though. I kind of miss it. Hope he's okay.
You can sleep through a shark. You can't sleep through a
A train.
can't sleep through that. But so you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can follow Michael at Michael L. Katz. You can find all of our coverage at djournal.com. And follow the journal at the Journal Sports. Michael, am I missing anything?
I got it. I think you hit them all.
And then of course, quick little message from our good friends at Vanelli's. Vanelli's Bistro is turning 50. We'd like to thank the people of Tupelo for your support all these years. We look forward to the next 50 years. Vanelli's Bistro is located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844 4410. Michael, thanks for joining me. I know that things are crazy right now, so any bit of your time is much appreciated. So just thanks a lot.
Of course, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks. And then everyone, thanks for listening. Have a good one, and enjoy the games this weekend.